one-stop shop e-commerce app will gift him 25,000 naira each to 3 million in money tokens on the 29th of March on the first come, first served.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your power that does not fail and that cannot fail. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that destroys all weaknesses and sicknesses and diseases. Thank you for your dominion over the realms of darkness, over the powers of darkness, the princes of darkness. Thank you, Father. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for great things you have in store for us. For as many of us who trust in your name, you have reserved great things for us. As many of us who trust in your power, who trust in your grace, you have reserved great things for us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for how you have started with us from last week when we started this Healing Streams program. We thank you for those that have been touched by your power and healed by your power. We thank you for those that will be touched even today as we apply faith in your word and pray. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that you open the hearts of everyone that would be hearing this, that will be hearing the teachings and that will follow the prayers, even the ones we are going to do right now. Oh Lord, open the hearts of everyone. Make it easy for your people to believe your word. Make it easy for your people to agree with your truth so that they can be free through your truth. And as we pray, O Lord, with faith, let there be manifestations of your power and let your people be released from every captivities of darkness and demons in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know that you have answered and you will do more than our request. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. Before we go into prayers, I'm going to be teaching you some things from the scriptures, which many of them are my personal revelation. my personal revelation of the Word of God, so which has been proven not just as a letter, as a written word, but it has been proven to produce wonders in my own life. Yeah. And of course in my ministry. Yeah, there's a place where you would be as a Christian and you will know that the Bible is just more than a letter. Yeah, you will just know that the Bible is more than letters, more than stories, history. Yeah, that is just is more than a book. So there's a place where you get to in your walk with God, and you will see the Bible as a book of power, a book of authority, a book of realities of the kingdom of God, because you yourself would have experienced face to face all the things that you have read in the Bible. So when you begin to experience face to face all the things you have read in the Bible and studied in the Bible, that is when you can see you are now a matured Christian. That is when you can say you are now a Christian that has grown. Yeah. So many of the things I will be teaching you in these programs as we continue to do it, which I believe we will continue to do this program for a very long time. Yeah, many of the things I'll be teaching you are going to be from my own personal experience with God and my own personal revelation of God. Yeah, and of His kingdom, of His power. So which are just exactly what you have been reading in your Bible. So those are the things I'll be showing you and teaching you. Yeah. So today, we're going to talk on you are more than a body. That's the title of my short teaching. You are more than a body. That is, you are more than what you see in the mirror. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you are more than the body you see. So you are more than a human body. There is more to your creation. There is more to your identity. And until you begin to see yourself as more than a body, there are so many things in God's kingdom you might never be able to get till you leave this world. Until you begin to see yourself as more than a body, there are so many things in the realms of God that you will not be able to lay your hands on or claim or possess. Yeah, because the people in heaven, they don't just see us as a body. They see us as more than a body. Even though the scientists and the doctors, they want you to see yourself as just a body. Like, they want you to believe that you are just a human body. Yeah, but that is not what the Word of God teaches. We are not just a body. We are more than a body. Yeah, and we must see ourselves as more than a body to be able to experience God and touch God where He is. Yeah, in fact, scientists are trying to tell you that we have to, I mean, medical scientists or doctors, yeah, they're trying to tell you that the health of your body depends on them. Yeah, or it depends on drugs. Yeah, because they don't even understand the creation of human beings. Yeah, so they feel like you have to continue to take some drugs for your body to be okay, as if you are just a body. So there are many, you are more than a body, meaning that you have a soul and you have a spirit. Let's continue, and then you will understand more on this topic. Now, the first point, the first point under this topic is that God sees you as a whole being and not as a body. God sees you as a whole being. That is, God sees you as a spirit, a soul, and as a body. That is three in one. Yeah. And those three, they are wired together. So it's not as if your spirit is standing like this. Your soul is standing like this. Maybe standing in the middle. And then your body follows. That is not how human beings are. It's not like the spirit is separate, the soul is separate, the body is separate. They are not separate. They have been wired together. I don't know if you get my point. It's just as the way you you know, fabrics that people wear, clothes that people wear. You know, sometimes those clothes, they might have different colors, different threads, and then this the machines they use kind of just weave those threads and those cutting, and it just, the machine weave all of that into a single fabric. Yeah. So when you put on your shirt, you are putting on a shirt, but that shirt comprises of different colors, different threads, different fabric material. They wired everything together. Then it becomes a shirt or becomes a clothing material. Yeah, so that is the same how human beings are. So your spirit, your soul, and your body, they are not some separate entities. Like, okay, you say this, the first room is the spirit, the second room is the soul, then the third room is the body. No, that's not how it is. If you have been seeing it like that, you have to change your mind. You have to unlearn that and receive this thing, these truths I'm telling you now. So your spirit, soul, and body, see it as they were wired together to become one. Yeah. Wired together to become one. Not that they were separate and then something is just linking them together. It's not like they are linked together. They are wired, weaved together to become one. Then what is the implication of that? Well, before we go into that, let me read some scriptures. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You know that scripture very well. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And you know, that is the body. And breathed into his nostrils. That breath is the spirit of man. And the breath of life, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now that soul appeared when the spirit and the body, when they collided, then the soul of man came into being. So this, your spirit, your soul, and your body, they are one. They are wired into one. And that is why even if you read some places in the Bible, you will see sometimes God referred to your spirit as a soul. And sometimes God referred to your soul as a spirit. Yeah, because they are all one. So any gospel that is trying to separate your body from your spirit, from your soul, and want you to deal with them differently, is a false gospel. And then in Third John, chapter 1, you know, it's just one chapter. Yeah, the book of Third John is just one chapter. Third John, chapter 1, verse 2. Say, beloved, or beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Yeah, so in this place, the apostle understood this thing I'm talking about now. He understood the fact that the prosperity of the soul is equal to the prosperity of the body. That is, if your soul is prospering, then your body is also prospering at the same time. Yeah, so he was praying for this person here. His name is Gaius. Yeah, in 3 John chapter 1. The apostle was praying for the person here that his soul will prosper. Or his spirit will prosper. Or maybe I should say, his body will prosper as his spirit or soul also prospers. Let me read in from New Living Translation. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you. And that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. That you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. So it is expected for those that are strong in spirit to also at the same time be strong in their body. Because your spirit, soul, and body are wired together. They are glued together. So the strength of one equals to the strength of the other. So there's nothing like you are strong in the spirit and you are weak in your body. It only means that you are not strong enough in the spirit. When you are strong enough in the spirit, you will equally be strong in your body. Because of time, you can read this one later, but I can tell you what is there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It's also talking about your spirit, soul, and body. God sees them as one. Yeah. Here the apostle was praying that God will preserve your spirit, soul, and body blameless. Yeah. So that is the first point under the topic that I I titled, I mean, under the topic or under the title that says you are more than a body. Now, let's move to the second point. The second point says a fault in a part of you is a fault in all of you. Remember that I said that you are not just a body, you are more than a body. You are also a soul and a spirit. And these three, they are agreed together as one. So nobody can separate them. No science can separate them. No doctors can separate them. Even though they cannot see your soul, their machines cannot detect what is going on in your soul and spirit. Yeah, all those big diagnostic machines. Yeah, what they used to diagnose and check whatever is going on in your body. It can only detect your body. Those machines cannot detect your soul, cannot detect what is going on in your soul and what is going on in your spirit. Yeah, so even if the doctors cannot recognize your soul and spirit, you must recognize that you are not just a body, that you are also a soul and a spirit, and the three are connected in the sense that if one of those three has a fault, all of you we have a problem. If, let's say for instance, your spirit has a fault, then at the same time your soul also has a fault and your body also have a fault. Yeah, so a fault in your spirit is equal to a fault in your soul and body. A problem in your spirit is equal to a problem in your soul and your body. So when the Lord was revealing this to me, I was so shocked because I've never had, all the years I had spent in the church, all the years I've been growing in the church, I've never really had any sermon that, you know, that really shows that a fault in my spirit will automatically means a fault in my body. So which means that the health of my spirit, the health of my soul equals to the health. I mean, we automatically produce health in my body. I never knew until the Lord showed me. And when the Lord showed me this, I now begin to relate it to my own personal life. How many times I would be so weak in my body. Yeah. And that weakness, we also want to suppress my spirit. And then because I don't believe in weakness, and because in those times I refuse to agree with the weakness, and then I notice that as my spirit begins to become strong, at the same time the weakness in my body also begins to leave. Yeah, I mean, before the Lord revealed that to me, I have experienced it. I have seen how the strength in my spirit, how it killed the weakness in my body and the sickness in my body. Let's read this scripture very quickly. In Luke chapter 5, verse 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now let's read verse 23. Now after Jesus made that statement, because this man had been paralyzed for a long time, And his friends had to break the roof of where Jesus was having a meeting. And then they lowered that man from the roof. And Jesus was amazed at their faith. Yeah, because there was no other way for them to pass through. But they were so desperate. So they lowered the guy from the roof. The paralyzed man was just in front of Jesus. I mean, the paralyzed man landed in front of Jesus from the roof. So when Jesus saw their faith, he looked at the man, the paralyzed man, and then he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, after Jesus made this statement, the religious leaders began to say, "Who are you to forgive sins? This is blasphemy." Now, let's look at verse 23. Jesus responded to them. He said, "Whether it's easier, or which one is easier, to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.'" Now, verse 24. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sin, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." So what can we learn from that passage? Jesus said, Jesus equaled the forgiveness of the man's sins to his healing. Yeah, according to Jesus, the forgiveness of that man's sin is the same with telling him to rise up and walk. So that was why I was telling them that which one is easy to say? Is it to say that his sins are forgiven? Is it for me to forgive his sins? Or for me to tell him to rise up and walk? So what Jesus was trying to show them is that without forgiveness of sins, it will be impossible for this man to rise up and walk. So meaning that there's a problem with that man's soul and spirit. And that was why that man has been paralyzed. Yeah, it is the consequences of his sins that gave him that paralysis. Yeah, and Jesus wanted to show them that without him forgiving that man's sins, there is no way he will rise up and walk. Yeah, so that was why I was telling them that for you to know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sin. So now you, man, rise up and walk. So the evidence that the man's sins have been forgiven is in the fact that he rose up and walked. Yeah. Yeah. So if our sins have not been forgiven, we should expect no healing miracle. And you know how to get your sins forgiven. You have to repent first. Yeah, you have to repent first. Turn away from sin. Repentance means that you change your mind and then you say, "I'm not doing this anymore." And you mean it. Not that you say you are not doing it anymore and then tomorrow you go back to it. So when you begin to make strong decisions to stop doing the things that you have been doing that God hates, that is when you have repented. So, and immediately you repent, the Bible showed us that you will be forgiven. So you just ask for forgiveness and you'll be forgiven. But we have many people in the church today, they keep asking for forgiveness and they never repent. And that is why God cannot touch them. God cannot heal them because they never repent. And God cannot forgive them because they never repent. If you don't repent, You can pray for forgiveness for 100 years and it will not be given. Repentance must come first before forgiveness. The Bible told us that Jesus went about saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah. So before you murmur against God, before you question the authority of God's word, before you say, why am I not healed? Check your life. If you have actually repented of all sins, not of some sins, all sins, and if you have been forgiven of all those sins. So you need to check before you start saying, why has God not healed me? Yeah. So now, let's move to the next point. The next point is, see yourself as God sees you. See yourself as God sees you. Don't see yourself as people want you to see yourself. Don't see yourself as doctors want you to see yourself. Some people, because doctors told them that doctors told them that they have cancer and that they are dying, they have just few days to live. Yeah, then they just give up on hope. They give up on faith. Oh, this is what doctors said. And before you know it, they died. Why? Because they saw themselves as doctors want them to see themselves. Yeah. And on the other hand, we have some people who were told that they have just few days to live because of stage 4 cancer. And they refuse to believe that report. Yeah. And they did nothing. Some, they did not even go for some alternative therapies or alternative treatment. Some, all they did was just, they were just praising God. They were just claiming the word of God, listening to gospel music, confessing the word of God upon their lives. And the next time they would go, nobody prayed for them. They did not even call any pastor. They just refused to agree with what doctors said. Yeah, they refused to see themselves as the doctors want them to see themselves. And by the next time they will go and check the cancer in their body, they were cancer free. They did not do anything. I mean, they did not do any physical thing or any therapy or anything. They just decide to begin to see themselves as they are in God, as they are before God, as God sees them. Yeah. So if you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 10 to 11, Romans chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God wants you to see yourself as dead unto sin and alive unto Him. Romans 6, 10 to 11. I read from New Living Translation. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So you should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin. Yeah, don't let sin control you, because God see you through Jesus. That is how God see us. God see us through Jesus. Yeah, because Jesus has redeemed us. So Jesus redeemed us by joining himself with us. You know, just as a husband is joined to his wife. So Jesus redeemed us and he made us one with himself. Yeah, so it's more like you are inside of Jesus. So every time God looks at you, he doesn't look at you as outside of Jesus. He looks at you as someone who is inside of Jesus. And we know that Jesus died to sin once. He destroyed the power of sin through his death on the cross of Calvary. So anyone that is inside of Jesus, it means that that person is already dead to sin. It means that the power of sin does not have dominion over that person. So you must see yourself as dead to sin. And that is how you'll be alive in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin. Because Jesus is also dead to sin. So which means that anytime you are alive to sin, you begin to follow the desires of sin in your body. It means you will leave Jesus. You'll be outside of Jesus. But every time you die to sin, you'll be inside of Jesus. But every time you agree with sin, you'll be outside of Jesus. And we know that there is no sickness in Jesus. There is no death in Jesus. There is no weakness in Jesus. So that tells us that the greatest disease affecting mankind is not cancer. Is not, I don't know those diseases. I don't know their names. Yeah. But you know their names. The greatest disease is sin. Yeah. And the generation of people who have rejected sin, who have conquered sin, are the generation of very healthy people. Yeah, go and do your research. The generation of people who have conquered sin. I mean, not just outward sin, both inward and outward sin, are the generation of people who are very healthy. I mean, very healthy. Now, let's move to the last point. There's another scripture for the third point. You can write it down. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Yeah, he's also repeating the same thing and also telling you that you're already healed in Christ Jesus. You're already healed through Christ Jesus. So anyone that is in Christ Jesus is already healed, because there's no sickness in Christ Jesus. So you have to see yourself as that. So even if you have a problem in your body, because you are more than a body, you have to know that your spirit and soul is not sick. So eventually, that sickness in your body has to go. Yeah, because when the health in your soul and spirit, when the health of your soul and spirit gets stronger, then that health will be transferred into your body automatically. When the health in your soul and your spirit begin to grow strong, automatically, your body will also be healthy automatically. I'm speaking from experience. So the last point is your body is strongly connected to fulfilling God's purpose in the earth. Your body is strongly connected to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, I will not read because of time. You will see where it says that every one of us will give account of the things that we do in the body. Every one of us. Yeah. Every one of us, we will receive the reward of the things we do in our body. Whether good or bad, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we would receive the reward of the things we do in the body. Now, what this means is that your body is actually given to you to live according to God's purpose. Yeah, so there are things God expects from you to do with your body. So now, if you are using your body to do what God wants you to do with it, you should expect that God will heal that body, even without you asking for healing. Yeah. If you are using your body to do what is expected, from God, if you are using your body to do what God expects you to do with your body, yeah, because your body is a vessel through which you do things for God on earth. Yeah. So your body should not dictate for you. You should dictate for your body how you will use it to glorify God on earth. So the passions, the lust in your body should not dictate for you what you should do with your body. You should be the one to dictate for your body what it will do for God, what it should do for God. So if you begin to use your body to do what God wants you to do with your body on earth, expect that God will heal you without you asking for it. Yeah. So there's a healing that comes, that appears when your body is doing what God wants you to do. There's a healing that manifests. We have seen a lot of examples of preachers that they were so sick, and there's a mission to be done for God. They were so sick that, but people are waiting for them to come up or to come out or to come to church and minister. But they were so down with sickness in the house. But then they just decided that even though I'm sick, I must go to church and I must preach. So we saw how some of them, immediately they stepped their legs inside the church. They began to get stronger. I mean, immediately they carried the microphone to start speaking. They were just healed immediately. Yeah, they were just healed immediately. So if you are feeling sick in your body, and then you feel like the next thing to do is to withdraw yourself from activities that God wants you to do for Him, my brother, my sister, you will remain sick. Yeah, but when you are sick and then you refuse to agree with that sickness, and then you continue to use the same body that is feeling sick, you continue to use it to do what God wants you to do for Him, you will not even know when that sickness will disappear, because it will just disappear eventually. Yeah, so that confirms how our body system is so connected to fulfilling God's purpose on earth. So if we are all about fulfilling God's purpose on earth, expect that you will never seek at all, or you will always be healed anytime you feel sick. Yeah. And then in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, you will see where it says that, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasures they were and were created. That is, God created all things because he wanted them to exist. If he doesn't want them to exist, they would not exist. So he created them because there is something he wants those things to do for him. He created all things because he wants all things to glorify him. He created all things, including you, because he doesn't want you to live for yourself, even as he himself is not living for himself. We saw it through the life of Jesus, the life of Christ, that God is not a personality that is existing for himself. God is not living for himself. So anyone God have created, also is not expected to live for themselves, but to live for God. So as you are busy living for God, you will find your healing. It is certain. So these principles, these revelations, they are eternal. If we can follow these truths, be sure that you will be healed. Yeah, be rest assured. So we are going to be praying now. Yeah, because of time, maybe you will just pray like two prayer points. Then I'll pray for you, and I'll pray also on the water that you have provided. Yeah, I believe you already have your water with you. Yeah. I want you to pray. You're going to say, Father, help me to be strong in my spirit and soul, so that my body can automatically become strong. Help me to be strong in my spirit and soul. If you are strong in faith, it means you are strong in spirit. The strength of your faith equals the strength of your spirit. So say, Lord, help me to be strong in my spirit and soul, so that my body gets strong immediately. Open your mouth and pray like that. In the name of Jesus, Nihisha Dekeshdevala, Mahashisa Janeshdala, help me to be strong in my spirit and soul. There's a level of strength we have in your spirit, and no disease will be able to survive in your body. There's a level of strength we have in your spirit, and no sickness will be able to survive in your body. No demon be able to oppress your body. Christians are so weak spiritually. That is why we are dying of diseases, because we are so weak in our spirits, so weak in our souls, so sick in our souls. Say, oh Lord, help me to be strong in my spirit and in my soul, so that my body can be strong immediately, automatically, instantly. Help me to be strong. Thank you, Father. Help me to be strong. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point. Your spiritual life should control your physical life. That was how the first creation lived. I mean, Adam and his rib. Adam and his wife. That was how they lived. Their spiritual life ruled over their physical life, to the point that they did not even know they were naked. yeah, because they were so covered by the influence of their spirits. Yeah. Their spirit, their spiritual life and atmosphere was ruling their physical life. So they were not even seeing themselves as naked, because they were not naked. Yeah, because they were covered by the covering of their spirits. Yeah, but when they sinned, then their physical life began to rule over their spiritual life. And that was when they realized that they were naked. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, from this day onward, make my spiritual life rule over my physical life. Anoint my spirit. And let my body be subject to my spirit. Let my body be subject to my spirit. Let my physical life be subject to my spiritual life. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Say, Lord, anoint my spirit. Make my spirit rule over my body. Make my spiritual life rule over my physical life. Make me to walk in the spirit. Live in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, so that I can always be healthy and free. Oh Lord, make me more spiritual than physical. Make my physical life subject to my spiritual life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so now I'm going to pray for you. And the water, which is a symbol of your faith. Yeah. The water is a symbol of your faith. You know, the Bible told us of how aprons and handkerchiefs were taken from the body of Paul to those that were sick and oppressed by devils. And as those aprons and handkerchiefs touched the body of those people, the demons ran out. And their sickness disappeared. Yeah, because they believed that the person that prayed on these items has the Spirit of God. So because they believed that the Spirit of God, the power of God with this person that prayed on this item, yeah, is also inside this item. Yeah, so it was the faith of the people. So it's not just about the water. Yeah, so don't just think it's about the water. It's about your faith. Yeah, that the power of God in this meeting, yeah, is going to enter into that water. And is going to do something in your life. That the power of God here is going to possess that water and do something in your life. So it's just a symbol of your faith. So don't idolize the water. See it as a way of making your faith practical. Yeah, a way of making your faith practical, or a way of demonstrating your faith practically. Yeah, so that is how you should say it. I will not repeat this again. Yeah, and anyone you invite to join this meeting, let them know that the water is equal to their faith. Yeah, and that is how it will work. Yeah, not that. Did you see the water? Water has some some special god. Yeah. So you hold the water in your hand as I pray. Our Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for your presence and power in this place. Thank you for your presence and power right there where your people are connecting to this meeting, to this program. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the things you have opened our eyes to see during the course of this meeting. Thank you for the truths you have taught us. Be praised, O Lord, forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because you are going to give us grace to do these truths as we have learned today. Thank you, Lord, because you are going to help us to follow every detail of this teaching. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I acknowledge that you are in everything you created, including this water that your people are holding right now. Because the Bible told us that you are holding everything together by the word of your power. And that all things have been held together by you. So therefore, you are in everything you created. Because you are the one holding them together. I ask, O Lord, that you manifest your presence and power in this water. Right now, in the name of Jesus, your healing presence and your healing power, let it appear now in the water your people are holding. Right now, in the name of Jesus, your healing fire, your delivering fire, your fire that produces deliverance, your fire that separates sicknesses and diseases from the things you created and from the bodies of people you have created, the organs in people's bodies, that kind of fire. Let it appear now and remain inside these waters. In the name of Jesus, I decree that everyone that takes this water shall be healed. In the name of Jesus, whatever serpents or scorpions or demons or poisons that is in their bodies or spirits or souls, as this water enters into them, those things shall come out in the name of Jesus. I decree that the eternal life of God shall through this water give life even to the dead in the name of Jesus. The eternal life of God shall through this water give life to whatsoever is dead already in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus, even with the sprinkling of this water, there shall be power manifestation. There shall be fire manifestation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. As God is so busy about seeing and getting you healed at this time, your faith will not fail you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.